If you want your items from shopping, send a man, is what I say, because he just goes in, he's on a mission, he picks up what he needs, and then he's out.
I buy for pleasure when I need it, when I need pleasure.
Confidence, you can't learn. It has to be given to you. So you have to be fed good things about yourself.
I say, okay, right, hold on. If
giving them sweets.
Well, were you sweets? Yeah, that's one we got bribing. That's one we're getting intention. Not the best way. Yeah, bribing people. Oh, dear. All right, Chris, you made it back.
I did.
Good, good. Yeah, motivation. The topic today is, I think, what we're going to do. Why? What motivates you? I was saying to June before we started doing to just keep going and keep doing things consistently, especially when you start a project. When you start something new, it's like really exciting. But all the success, I think, comes from just sticking with something, doing it again and again, getting better at it, getting traction. I don't know why. What motivates you to get up and do the podcast, Julian? Let me see if he's awake.
Yeah, I'm not awake, to be honest. I'm really not awake. So, you said what?
What motivates you to turn up every week? Because after a while, we're getting to the point where it's like, oh, not again, the podcast is getting in the way. But there's got to be enough upside than downside to turn up every week.
Well, to be honest, I love it. I love it because I've got a sense of giving me that consistency. I have something to look forward to, and whatever meeting I have to organize it afterwards or before. And so, and it gets me to learn new stuff, like you said earlier, with the topic we're gonna address today. So, yeah.
Yeah, same with me. I mean, I constantly learn. It helps, because as I talk, I can see myself thinking. So I learn just by yapping away. I hope it's not too boring for you. But that's probably the one of the top. We started off with a topic of, I said, public speaking and confidence and selling, but I think we've kind of evolved the topic. So, Trish, are you good at talking? Are you confident in public?
I would say no.
Okay.
I personally don't think I'm confident at talking. People tell me differently when they hear me speak, but my own personal self, I think I'm quite shy.
It doesn't come
And
across,
people
does
are close.
it?
Huh?
No, it doesn't come across. You never, I don't never detect you're nervous. You always seem to be very
That's what people
opinionated and very
say.
forceful.
And when people, it's not that I purposely give off that image. I guess I have the support that I need to help me get past my nervousness, but it's definitely there. I remember I went to Africa and I was asked to speak and I couldn't do it. And there was like thousands of people there. And I felt like it was a baptism of fire. But even in smaller, I prefer small groups because it's more intimate. So I'm better there. But I can speak in larger groups, but I don't like it because I do feel shy and I do feel nervous.
I remember in school, whenever the teacher came around, right, stand up and read from the book. I could never read, still can't, to be honest, or talk. And I think very early on, I developed the mindset that was not good, because people would like laugh at me or start talking over me. And very early on, I got this complex that I can't talk. I'm not very good at public speaking. This is funny irony. Ended up in radio, or maybe not. It was a way of me sort of talking without having people laughing at me. So, and I've always tended to get good to it. June, do you feel nervous when you talk?
Well, not at all. I can feel nervous beforehand if I do not know the audience I'll be speaking to. But once I introduce myself and I start talking, it goes away. It's because I think I love talking. I'm an introvert, but I love talking when there's a purpose for it.
Oh,
Yes,
I hear you.
I think if you've got something to say, you naturally say it with passion, and explain it because you care about it. The topic we were going to talk, if you have just joined us, Ash K, Julian Boomwright, educational coach, Patricia Howell, Black Men Reconnect, therapeutic light waves education. Thanks for joining us and all our. Why are you laughing? I got it right today. I was determined not to make it. You're like, you messed it up for me now. I was on. I should
I'm
write it down.
speechless.
There we
I am
go.
speechless, totally speechless.
But yeah, why? So we talked about public speaking and selling. That was the original idea, but we've kind of evolved into what, why you do things that you do. Now, Trish, one of the big things, and I think you disagree with this, there's three parts of our brain, and if you can approach anyone, if you're trying to persuade or sell them, or even yourself, you wonder why you've done some crazy things. You think, what was I doing? And it could be this. So the answer is basically we've got three parts of our brain. One, you've got the reptile brain, croc brain, animal brain, call it what you want. It's the first part of our brain that developed. It sits right in the middle of our, it's still there. It reacts to threats. And they've done studies on this, which we talked about the Pavlov thing with babies earlier. You've got the midbrain, which evolved after, which was to deal with social situation. Who was the boss? Who was stronger than you? Who had the food, who had the money. And then later, which is what a lot of us use now since the industrial age, is the logical brain. So if you find, Trish, you were saying when you go shopping, you don't take a basket. Why is that?
I only don't take a basket if I'm going in to pick up a small amount of items.
Okay, well, why is
and
that?
The reason, because it's seductive. It's, you know, sounds really funny, but... it seduces you to buy. You see, the thing is, they know how women think. They know that we spend a lot, and the music, the way things are set out, you know, it's an encourager. So if I want a few things, I won't take a basket because my basket will get full. If you want your items from shopping, send a man, is what I say, because he just goes in, he's on a mission, he picks up what he needs, and then he's out.
I don't know about that. I mean, I have to resist all the time to overbuy because I've got an Aldi right next to me. It's almost like my own corner shop. And
love Aldi.
Yeah, I know. It's good. But I don't know. I have to really resist because they have things on sale and they have like things like weights and, you know, exercise bike stuff, like stuff that I didn't even go in for. And I think, you know.
But do you see though? Look at what you're buying. Weights, exercise bikes, all of those are to do with your interests. You didn't even mention food.
No, exactly. No, I'm going for
cleaning
food.
Cleaning products.
But I don't need those things. But I just, yeah, I could do with the extra whatever it was. And I have to really stop myself buying it. You know what I mean? June, have you ever done anything crazy? You want to admit that you...
In the past, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I use my list as my... as my drive, and I have to tick everything that's on the list, and that's it, and we go out.
See?
But still,
that's
another point. Well, you're both right, because you're saying that send a man because a man is logical.
But he still knows
he's vulnerable because he has to make a list because he's sensible enough to make that list.
But Ash, I make a list. I always make a list. Hmm. I don't just go in free-handed. I make my list and I can still come out with more that's what on the list. I make sure I've got everything on the list. I tick, 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 tick. But, oh, there's something there that I need for the future. Because the thing is, you know what? When you make a list, you always kind of know that these are the basic things you need, but you know that you need other things as well. And if you see them, you're likely to want it.
Yeah. Yeah. In the past, I used to buy. Sorry, Ash. In the past, I used to buy quite a lot of things that I didn't need. And there was a question one day I stumbled upon across was, "Do you really need this? Is this vital?" And you know, I kept repeating myself this, you know, until it became part of me. And when I go shopping, if I see something, my brain just kicks in. My subconscious says, "Is this vital? All right, I turn my back. No, I know this is not going to, you know, it's not going to help me survive or anything." So that's why I understand what to
buy. So Julian, you're just buying things that are vital. You're not buying for pleasure.
I buy for pleasure when I need it, when I need pleasure.
Oh, that is so funny. You're going to have to explain that because I don't get that. When you need pleasure, you buy for pleasure. So it's still a need. It's still vital then, isn't it? It's not pleasure.
But if, you know, I calculate my outings, basically, if I go out, do the weekly shopping, it will be the weekly shopping. But if I said, all right, okay, this is for entertainment, this is for, you know, going to have a good time, this is, you know, family time, then we go out and I buy what I need for entertainment, for, you know, pleasure, you know, so that's how I do it. But
so you put it in little, you put it in little boxes and you don't mix the boxes.
Actually, yeah, I try not to. Yeah.
But you're tempted though. That's the main thing. Hence,
I need some of that discipline.
Well, I think we're all like that. I think this is the whole, all this motivational psychology in the modern times is all based on this. How do we get ourselves to do what we should do, when we should do it, whether we feel like it or not? You know, this is the thing. I don't know if this is connected. You got you got the midbrain, the reptile brain, the midbrain, logical brain, and they evolved over time. You've got you heard Daniel Kahneman, thinking fast, thinking slow, system one, system two. It's very simple. I mean, it's a massive book, but to explain a very simple principle. System one is our reactionary system. You know, like something happens, you have an immediate reaction to it. System two, you think, you know what I mean, about it. So this is what happens. This is what Julian's doing. He's countering, and he realized we all have that. So Julian, when you're shopping and you're by having a list, you're countering that system one, the reaction to buy the ice cream or the crisps or whatever the pleasure things you wanted. So do we accept that we do things that we shouldn't? We're as humans, do you accept that, both of you?
Of course we do.
Okay.
I mean look at the world, you can see that we do things that we shouldn't. Yeah. Look at what's happening now. War.
Yeah, yeah, that's another one there. This is again back to the original topic, evolutionary bias towards stories, or what did you say, Junior said it was in our operating system.
Yeah.
To tell stories. So if you're going to sell something or communicate something to someone, so we're moving slightly off the topic here. Are you good at communicating, selling yourself, Julian? Explain, like, say you've got a new project or you want to explain something. Do you hold people's attention? What's your system? What's your strategy?
My strategy is passion. Because I let my passion take over. Sometimes it's not good, but I know that my passion communicates what I am about and what I do, what I love doing. And it's always wrapped into a story. I will always talk about my experience, and I will always talk about how I end up doing the things I do and the way I do them.
Yeah, you may do it quite naturally. I mentioned if you haven't heard of The Hero's Journey, I know you two are just getting to grips with it, but you might actually be doing it quite naturally, just explaining your regular guy, whatever you went through, you've taken through these steps, and then how you came out the other side. That's effectively The Hero's Journey. It's worth Googling that if you guys are listening.
I think the more you do things, the easier it becomes.
Yeah.
I think there's always a slight anxiety at the beginning of anything for me. I think naturally, and most people don't realise it, naturally I'm quite quiet and quite shy. It's my natural self. I make big efforts to speak. Those who know me know both sides of me.
You mentioned you were quite introverted, or you are introverted. It doesn't seem to make sense. You talk here, and your job is speaking and communicating. That doesn't make sense.
Yes. It doesn't make sense to a lot of people. Yes, I am really an introvert. And it means to me that I only talk when there's a need for it. And when I know that I can help, when I want to serve, this is when, you know, I move to my other self, the one who tells stories to help people get out of their pit, you know, and discover their potential. And what I also use and I understand is that we all have different learning styles. We use different senses when we learn. We are VAK learners. That's how I believe we are. Visual, auditive, and kinesthetic. And I use this understanding, this knowledge, when I deliver talks to young people, but also to anybody. So I will change my tone, like I've just done now, and I will become, I will try to get closer to my audience and use eye contact. And I would also speed up the talk when I feel a bit passionate about what will come next. And I would start moving my hands and, you know, try to get them into the stories and accompany them with me through this exceptional transformation. And then I will, you know, let them, you know, have some time to let the story sink in by taking some pauses and let them reflect on how they themselves can become the solution of their problem.
Have you ever experienced there's this thing where speakers talk about you want to get to the point where you've got this one mind where you've got everybody in the same mental space, and this happens in spiritual, you know, in church typically, you know, where everyone's in the same space. It can happen in public, in talking as well. Do you get to that point? Do you have found you know where you can control the pauses and people are really with you?
Yes, and I've seen it happens sometimes without me even controlling it. It happens a lot with children, to be honest, with children, young people, because I believe young people are more in tune with their subconscious. They're more in tune with themselves and they're more present. They're more in the moment. So they manage to anchor themselves in the now and experience the talk.
If you have just joined us, Ash, Julian, Trish, thanks to friends on Genesis Radio Birmingham. Hi to George, all our friends on LWR Radio as well. Thanks for you for listening. Traditions, storytelling, is part of Jamaican Caribbean culture. You mentioned that's how we teach and share stories.
Yeah, I was just thinking, even going further back, you know, to before we got to the Caribbean, and maybe even other countries. I think because we spoke more than we were able to write. Definitely in Caribbean culture, you weren't allowed to learn how to read and write. So, you know, storytelling was the way to pass on information. So I guess that's the roots of it for children of the Caribbean. But it's also really exciting. I mean, I love telling stories. I love telling stories to children. I do it all the time, even if they're big, just do it differently. You know, and I love the animation, and it just gives so much information. I find that definitely in my work, what I do is I tell a lot of social stories to help people to understand their world so that they're able to manage it. But yeah, I love storytelling, and I just think it's the way it's used now. I think, I don't know, it's just used differently now to change people's thinking.
So you think, what, in a negative way, it's not used in a positive way these days?
I just think I've been on so many fundraising organizational things and seen so much of how it can be manipulated. You know, I remember even with my son, he did a job. He was working in a kind of call center where they had to sell product to people. It didn't last because he had to tell stories. And he said, "Mom, I just couldn't do it. I'm talking to this old person, and I'm having to sell this thing to them and tell them stories and then go back to them." And he just didn't last. And it's that part of the storytelling that I don't like, in terms of how organizations have grabbed something that was so rich and that could give so many good things and used it for their own purposes. And it does work.
Oh, it does, yeah. I mean, all this... That is the thing. They're playing on these natural traditions and way that the operating system, the brain, works to manipulate people to sell them something or take advantage, which and he's right. I'm glad he left the job, actually. You don't want to work in a company that does that.
Well, he's done a lot of things in his youth, but his values were such that he couldn't do it.
No, I think I did something similar, and I just couldn't. Yeah, you have to, it has to be used. I mean, you know, it's a powerful tool, but if you've got a good product or good service or you're really helping people, it's also good to use some of these techniques to sell yourself and explain your service because if you don't, then they're not benefiting. It's pointless, you know. So it's I think people can see through it now. People can see a genuine story.
Do you think so?
I don't think.
I don't think so. I'm not saying organizations, because organizations are equipped to see that, but the everyday person doesn't see it. It's changed. They shift it a little here and they shift it a little there, yeah. And people don't see it.
Yeah, people, organizations and politicians society take advantage of that. People, this is why it's important to stay alert and think and distinguish between a genuine story and where a situation where you've been manipulated.
So. Yeah, you know, Einstein, well, that makes me, that reminds me that, you see, storytelling on stories stimulate imagination. And Einstein, I remember, said that imagination is much more important than knowledge. Because knowledge is limited, but imagination encircles the world. So we need to understand that, you know, when we tell a story, and Trisha was saying earlier that she loves telling stories because she sees the effect. Stories give us that mental flexibility to create, you know, to create. With this brain, it feeds on stories. This brain, it is our operating system. And the more stories we will tell, the more people's imagination will be stimulated, and the more creative they will become. So, yeah.
Are you a storyteller, Ash?
I've gone, say, full circle. I probably was quite natural at it when I was a kid. And when you're a kid, you know, when you wanted something from pocket money from your parents, or a bike or a new computer, you figure out ways of persuading them, and you don't give up, and, you know, you tell them it's good. But somewhere between the line, yeah, I lost my confidence in the air, and I've gone, you know, I studied it, and now I'm reapplying it with a lot more science and logic. So, yeah, I think I'm quite good. I can normally get a situation to work in my favor, or I'm aware of the dynamics of why it isn't working for, you know, for all these, you know, you've got the ADA, attention, interest, desire. There's a lot of techniques, principles of Joseph Campbell thing we talked about, midbrain. So I'd like to think, without boasting, I am good, not for any reason, I'm natural, but I just study it. And obviously I want to be successful in my in business and helping people and stuff. So I find these skills. The irony is I've got, I realized how many books. I mean, you know, I study a lot of books. I've got 6 books, physical books, not just PDFs, on, you know, I've got the TED Talks, with guy who comes to me, you know, talking around a fire, the concept of sharing stories before writing in the internet. I've got that, the Oren Claff, somebody's name's big fan of, and so forth. Yeah, so there we go. See, I wasn't that, I didn't hold your attention. Most of you are like falling asleep, so obviously you're not that good. There's my confidence coming back in. Yeah,
you are. Oh, good, because Ash helped me months ago, Trish, with a negotiation I was going through with a publisher, and Ash used the power of storytelling to tell me how to deal with this challenging situation, which went really well, which ended up really well in the end. So now he's very good at it. And again, I think it's experience. It's all about all the books he read also, and his lived experience as well, because what he was saying was a lot about to do with his lived experience, and he went really well. So Ash, you're really good at it. Yeah. Very, very good.
Thanks. Yeah.
You know, I think self-esteem goes back again. Self-esteem, emotional things that happen that have an emotional impact on us as human beings affect how we see ourselves, and how we see ourselves affect what we do. So, you know, one of the things when I'm working with young people, I always try and train them up to be facilitators, because I think that gives you the power. It helps you to be a leader. You can go out there and create. So that's what I do. And when I'm working with young people, the first thing I do is build their self-esteem. Because once you're confident, everything else you can learn. You know, confidence, you can't learn. It has to be given to you. So you have to be fed good things about yourself so that you feel good about yourself. So once your emotional self is feeling good, you can do anything. You can fly. And I think that's what we don't see sometimes. We need to look after our emotional well-being, because everything else, you know, when you look at you, Ash, you're a multiple of, you're eclectic, you've got so many skills and so much experience. But even in this podcast, I can count the amount of times that you've said, you know, something that is not what we see. Now, you know, because when we've been talking, guys were saying to me, oh, you don't see this in me. And I've told you what goes on inside of me, but you don't see it. You won't see it unless I tell you to see. Because if we say things, people will focus on what we say rather than who we are. You know, so we really need to focus on working with our emotional well-being and being full. And it's not a case of that happening just with yourselves. It happens when other people are around you, are supporting that. Because like you said in when we were talking earlier about, I know you go on about these brains, and you were talking about the going out and getting food and sharing it. This is what we're doing. We're sharing ourselves. We're sharing our emotional experiences. We're sharing our support. We're sharing all of this. And all of this is part of the building of self-esteem and supporting of the emotions. It's just so essential, because without all of that, the other parts don't come. Now, Maslow hierarchy of needs talks about the basic needs. If the basic needs aren't met, you cannot ascribe to the top. You won't get there, because the bottom needs will keep pulling you back. So just thought I'd share that.
No, thanks, Chris. Unfortunately, it's good topic. I think we're only just warming up now, actually, but we're going to have to say bye in a few seconds. I'm just trying to think of something really, but imagine you're in, you got a group of kids at a party, maybe, I don't know what age, maybe 5-6 year olds, that's a good age, and they're all running around, and you're trying to get them together, trying to get their attention. Maybe there's 20 of them to do an activity or a game or something. What's your tips for getting their attention? And then talking to them, telling them, explaining the rules of a new game. Who wants to go first? That's a tough one. I'm not very good at it. I like to say, come, kids, and they just like, who the hell is that idiot? You know what I mean? They just ignore
primary
me.
Primary school,
you know,
children respond to change. So you can either be totally silent, turn the music off, and they'll be looking to see what happens. In primary school, they use the clapping, don't they? Draws their attention. So what you really, you just want something to draw their attention, and it could be anything.
Right, give me an example. No, you can't. Obviously, they brainwash them into this clapping, and they program them into, like, once you hear that, you all got to stop. But imagine
you spoke about classical conditioning. So I'm getting tongue-tied now. You spoke about that with the child and Pavlo and the noise. Yeah. We know what works. It's always used in everything.
No, but imagine now, you're at a party.
When we didn't understand it, we still did it.
I'm not disagreeing. Because it's innate. Everyone can relate to this. Last question. So you're at a party and all the kids are running around. Maybe you've got one of your grandkids there as well. And if it's their birthday and you're trying to get all their attention, all the kids' attention together, they're happy running around, but you need to organise a game or give an announcement or something. How would you get their attention?
Who are you talking to? Julian?
No, you.
I just answered the question.
Did you?
So all right, that's for Julian.
I'll go back. I'll have to listen to it. Maybe I missed it. Tune in. Good.
Okay. So understanding that our brain is not a thinking brain, but a doing brain, we're going to have to get, like Trish was saying, get their attention. So either by making a sound, putting the music, changing the music, but we're going to have to do something that will attract their attention, that will get their attention and get them to, you know, get themselves in a different state of consciousness.
Okay, so you've got their attention and they're looking at you, stop music, peed them off. They're like, well, you're enjoying that. What's this grown up doing now?
now you've got that attention, you can do what you want to do now. You can pass on your message. You can, you know, direct them to do what you wanted them to do.
Yeah, that's good. I'm trying to think maybe I should take, because honestly, I'm not very, because I've been in that position so many times.
Fish was saying, use them, give them responsibilities. So ask them questions, use questioning. Okay, who wants to do, or I need a volunteer to do, I need a captain to do this. And you will see, they will take charge and you will get them, because children follow children. That's what they do.
Yeah, yeah. I tend to get a small group that are kind of with me on my side, and I start doing the thing that I want with them. Maybe it's giving them sweets or whatever it is, and it gradually attracts the others. And then when I've got them, I say, okay, right, hold on.
Giving them sweets?
Well, you know, well, you sweets, yeah. That's one, we've got to bribe them. That's one we're getting intention. Not the best way. Yeah, bribing people. Oh, dear. All right, guys. Well, it's a fun one today. We sort of talked about a bit about neuroscience and why we do things, what we do, and trying to get people's attention. So it's a bit of a mishmash, but I think we learned something there today. You guys have a good week. What's your plans for today, Julian?
Working. So work. Got so much
work,
to do.
All work, no play. Trish, what's your plans?
Well, I've got to go out and buy some food to make some food for a party tomorrow.
Mm. Ah, so funny. I see the techniques might come in handy.
Yeah.
Handy tomorrow.
Well, actually, I'll be very restricted anyway, because my budget is small. That's the one thing that gives me boundaries. Budget.
Okay, good, good, good. No, thanks, guys. I think it went well today. I think got something done. It's hard turning up every week, though. I think that's the hard thing, consistency. Yeah, saying to Julian, just got to keep turning up, Trish, you know what I mean? Do it, because anything worthwhile is worth, you know, obviously comes a point where if it's not adding value or not worth it, don't, you know, you can always, any project you're doing. But yeah, you got to stick with it. Yeah, definitely, definitely. How do you think it went? How did the podcast go? How did you feel recording it?
What, this podcast?
Mm.
It's the same as usual. Yeah, that's a strange question.
Yeah, no, how did you feel, Julian?
Well, yeah, the same, same. Well, with the hay fever, I feel that I wasn't too focused. But yeah, I think it was the same.
Yeah, it's funny. It always works out. It's really weird. I always think, oh, that's good. That's good. And, you know what I mean? I'm not confident at first before we start. And then once we get into it, oh, yeah, this is good. People will be into this. It's really good. So yeah, well done to you two. All right, you guys have a good week. Take care. Cool. I'll get chopping and editing on that. Try and do it really quick. And press on some of the other things we've got to do. All right, see you guys next week. Yeah.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye, Trish. Bye.